is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome into a Locked On crossover here, a playoff edition of Locked On Grizzlies and Locked On Spurs. I am Peter Edmondson, host of Locked On Grizzlies, joined by Jeff Garcia over in San Antonio, host of Locked On Spurs, where the Grizzlies and Spurs will start their series Saturday at 7 o'clock, primetime ESPN plot for this one. A little bit of a surprise there. And this series, Jeff, really changed yesterday when we found out that Tony Allen was going to miss basically the entire series with a calf strain, the Grizzlies' best perimeter defender. I don't know that a lot of people gave the Grizzlies a ton of chance against the Spurs. Maybe thought it would be competitive in each of the games, but maybe didn't think they'd win the series. But now, I have to say, from the Grizzlies' perspective, it's very difficult to envision winning the series without Tony Allen.
I totally agree. When news hit that Allen is out, Spurs fans were quite happy about that. Allen was one of the rare players in the league that can actually give the Spurs star, Kawhi Leonard, some fits out on the perimeter, and he really could take it to Kawhi. So with Memphis losing a huge factor in the defensive approach to San Antonio, that's huge and huge. It's going to be interesting to see what the Grizzlies are going to do now to compensate. Do they bring somebody off the bench? Do they just shuffle the roster? Do they maybe play free-flowing with the Spurs? Don't know, but I can tell you this, is earlier today, I was on a conference call with Marc Gasol, and Marc Gasol did recognize the fact that Tony Allen is out, and he said that's a huge loss, but he's expecting other players off that bench to step up. He didn't name names of who they're looking at, but he's aware of the impact of the loss of Tony Allen. The team is aware. Memphis is aware. Your fan base is aware. It's going to be interesting to see what the Grizzlies do later on Saturday night. But
I think that you get a little bit of an idea if you watch that last game that the Grizzlies and Spurs played in San Antonio a couple weeks ago, because Tony Allen didn't play in that game, and Kawhi had 32-12, which, is not surprising.
But
39 minutes into the game, the Spurs really wanted to win more than the Grizzlies did, because the Grizzlies were in overtime, even without Tony Allen, and the Grizzlies could not play Marc Gasol in that overtime session, and Mike Conley as well. And so you ended up with some weird lineups because of minutes restrictions and injuries and stuff. So on the one hand, it probably gives Grizzlies fans, I would imagine, a little bit of hope that they were able to hang in there and take the Spurs to overtime in San Antonio without Tony Allen. But, Kawhi had 32-12 on the other hand. So it was not an easy task. They used a combination of players, which they'll probably do again. You'll see James Ennis, I imagine, start on Kawhi. Wayne Seldon will spend a good bit of time on Kawhi. I think Michael Green will play quite a bit as well, because he can defend perimeter players and use that size that Kawhi can sometimes use in the post that will work well with Michael Green. As long as he doesn't foul, he's a foul machine, Michael, unfortunately. So that's a little bit of a problem there. But you'll see those guys in Vince Carter as well. I don't know that it's going to be one consistent approach, Jeff, because I don't think you can show Kawhi or the Spurs a consistent approach. That's not going to work.
No, it's not going to work at all, and the Spurs are that machine that can just beat you up many ways. But the Memphis Grizzlies throughout the regular season, and this, really took it to the Spurs, split the season series 2-2, both teams winning on each other's court. As a concern heading into this series versus Memphis is simply just how poor the Spurs have played in Memphis. Maybe you toss out that first game with no Kawhi, no Powell. Maybe that's a wash, but if you just look at the numbers, on the road in Memphis, the Spurs are 0-2, and they shot just 27.7% from the three-point line. And to make it even worse, if you're a Spurs fan, they have a net rating of a negative 14.6 on the road versus Memphis. They're going to have to win on the road. Yes, they did win out some games in San Antonio, barely. So this Memphis team is not a typical 7 seed. Spurs have history. They know this has happened before. Recall the 8-seeded Memphis Grizzlies beating the top-seeded Spurs in the first round. history could repeat itself, I wouldn't be surprised. But at the end of the day, I think the Spurs just are a bit too much. And with the loss of Allen, Spurs should win the series.
I would think so. But yeah, you reminded me, Jeff. I was talking to Zach Randolph about that series a couple of days ago in the locker room, and he was laughing and reminiscing about Antonio McDyke, you know, the starting player at that time for the Spurs. That was not a great matchup. I think Zach ushered Antonio right into retirement in that series. That was the one that really got this core four group that Grizzlies fans have really come to appreciate and love. With Marcus Gasol, Matt Conley, Zach Randolph, Tony Allen, that really got them off the ground. And there is a lot of talk around here that this may be the end of that group. And if so, if it comes to an end against the Spurs, it would be kind of a coincidental thing. But it sort of started against the Spurs and it may come to an end against the Spurs. The thing is with this matchup, you know, when you see Zach, I think the reason that the Grizzlies can play so well against the Spurs is because the Spurs play a similar pace. They don't play shit. They're not a super up-tempo team, which is really comfortable for the Grizzlies. They don't really have anybody out there. You know, a lot of teams that play more of a four-out, five-out style with a lot of, you know, three-point shooting coming from, you know, faster guys and smaller guys from those fours and fives. The Spurs will do that a bunch. And so you can play Zach Randolph in that series. And the Grizzlies have gotten a lot of offensive productivity out of Zach. The problem has been on the defensive end where he just gets crushed by teams like Houston and Oklahoma City. Sometimes they can spread things out and make it tough for him. He has trouble with those kinds of athletes. But the Spurs don't really do that, which means it's a pretty comfortable matchup for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they do play a similar style, similar pace. And but this is still a Memphis team that could put a scare in the Spurs in the opening round. I always thought Memphis was one of those teams you don't want to play if you're a top team in the bracket in the field. But at the end of the day, I think despite the fact that they play a similar match, you're looking at the Spurs depth. The Spurs just have a lot much more depth than the Memphis does. You know, the Spurs bench is one of the better benches in the league. They got one of the best net ratings in the league. You got a guy like Patty Mills coming off the bench. Manu Ginobili, it can go on and on. Even to Adavis Bertans, a rookie who was a toss-in during the Pacers-Spurs Kawhi Leonard draft day trade, and he can be an impact player as well. You got David Lee, Pau Gasol, Mark Gasol's big brother, coming off the bench now. The bench is going to have to step up versus Memphis because the one thing the Spurs cannot afford is having this series go seven. And when possible, Houston waiting for San Antonio in the second round?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I think that's really what the Grizzlies are going to have to do is make every game very difficult, make every game a battle. You know, because that, and that's really been the whole series thus far, except for that first game where, you know, Kawhi didn't play and it really wasn't much of his first effort. But in the other three games, they've been very tight. They've all been really close. The Grizzlies will make the Spurs work. And I think that's what they have to do with any of their opponents. The Grizzlies don't have a bench. As you talked about, net ratings, one of the interesting things, the Grizzlies starting five, and now, you know, that starting five has been interrupted with Tony Allen's injury, but with Tony Allen in there, since the All-Star break, they had the starting five with the third best net rating of any five-man unit in the NBA.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies. But everyone else, you throw any other player in there, and it just goes completely down. You know, as a whole, they were minus 4.2, but that group was about an 18, plus 18. So you can see a huge difference there. And you've got Andrew Harrison, not great. You know, Wayne Selden, a pretty good defensive player, but a real negative on the offensive end. We're talking about Zach Randolph. He's really the only positive, you know, from the bench. Brandon Wright's role has been uncertain. And then, you know, you don't really want to play Wade Baldwin. You don't really want to play any of the other guys if you can help it. So, I don't know, those minutes that are going to be taken up, you know, Tony Allen's minutes are going to have to be taken up by somebody else, and that somebody else, chances are, is not going to be a real good player. And so, or at least not to the quality that you would want to see in a series like this. So that's going to be really tricky. The Grizzlies are going to have to get an unbelievable performance from Mike Conley. That's going to be the number one thing because he should be able to get his against, you know, Tony Barker, Patrick Mills. The question is going to be, Jeff, how quickly and how often do you think the Spurs put Kawhi on Mike Conley, who's been one of the best offensive players in the league over the last month or so?
And I'm glad you brought up Mike Conley because heading into this series, many people are asking me, like, what do you think the biggest issue is facing a Memphis team? Do you think it's Mark? Do you think it's Zach coming off the bench? And I was saying, no, it's actually Mike Conley. I think Mike Conley just has what it takes to give Tony Parker and that Spurs backcourt fits. Look, he has one of his better career stats versus San Antonio. He sees silver and black, and he turns into this all-world player. He's good on both ends of the court, offensive and defensively. And Tony Parker, look, he's adequate for what the Spurs need, but his best years are behind him now. Yes, Parker does lead the Spurs in assists per game, a little bit over four, but he's not that same threatening offensive player that he once was. Conley is. Conley, he's developed that three-point shot. He can dish with the best of them. He's a big guard. He has a good defensive nose on him. He can shut down Parker. And hopefully Parker is going to have to raise up his game. And so I look at actually that matchup, the Parker-Conley matchup, as maybe the key to the series.
Do you think, when do they deploy Kawhi?
Go on Conley?
I mean, how often does that happen?
I think that happens quite a bit in game one, game two, game three, game four, and so on and so forth. If it goes beyond that, I think with the lack of Tony Allen now, that just frees up Kawhi Leonard to just wreak a little bit more havoc on the defensive end of the court versus Memphis. So I think you're going to see it right away. I think Conley's going to expose Parker. I think Danny Green, you'll probably see a lot of time Green on Conley as well. So Green is, again, one of those under-the-radar, good perimeter defenders. And so you expect a lot of switching like that. Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard taking on Mike Conley.
Do you think that Kawhi is best served as kind of you put him on almost like the weakest offensive player for the Grizzlies, but really have him be kind of a safety out there, like a free safety to kind of roam around and wreak havoc? That's what we've seen in the past from some teams like that. When Tony Allen was out there, the Warriors most notably kind of would do that and really just take almost not even guard Tony and allow that man to go and all kinds of just freelancing out there. Is that the best use of Kawhi, or is it to just shut down a guy like Conley in particular?
No, I think that's going to be the best use him as a roaming around that defensive end. Again, I also look at Danny Green. Danny Green could also see time on Mike Conley. I could see Danny Green playing that free safety style and roaming around up close near the arc and just trying to disrupt Conley as well. The Spurs have many weapons they can throw at Conley. You know, Marc Gasol is Marc Gasol. He's going to get his numbers. You know, it's going to be to see, finally get to see the two brothers go at each other in the playoff series. That's going to be fun to watch. But it's kind of one of those things, if you cut off the head of the snake, Mike Conley, Spurs have a wonderful chance to eliminate the Grizzlies.
So at the end of the day, Jeff, as we wrap this thing up, because I know you've got to run, and we're doing a little bonus pod for everybody out here for the playoffs, what's your ultimate prediction?
I am going to see this game going – originally it was six. Now I'm going to say five now. Just because of Tony Allen, the loss of him for your team, Memphis Grizzlies, I think that just kind of deflates the tire a little bit on Memphis's chances at upsetting San Antonio. So I predict Spurs in five, but it's going to be a very, very tough five games. If the regular season history is any indication, you're looking at a knockout, drag-out, very physical for opening round series between these two teams that are going to face each other yet again in the postseason.
Yeah, I think it's going to be it's hard for me to argue with that. Had Tony Allen played, I could have seen this thing going six or even seven just because of the nature of it. But I think there's going to be too many gaps for the Grizzlies to deal with right now. I think there's too many opportunities for the Spurs to take advantage. And I think it's going to be maybe not even five. I think it may be a hard-fought four-game sweep, kind of like the Western Conference Finals back in 2013, where those were really tight games. It didn't feel necessarily like a sweep, but it was. I think it'll be very similar in that regard, where I think the Spurs will sweep, but I think they're going to be very, very hard-fought matchups. And I hope I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong for the sake of the pod and for the sake of Grizzly fans listening, but I just think the relentless nature of the Spurs and the way these games are going to go, It's hard for me to see too much, too many other outcomes than that one.
Thank
you very much. Oh yeah, you got some more fast?
Just real briefly. You know, I know you're on a limited time too. I don't want to take up too much of your time. But it's just like the only reason why I'm giving a Spurs a 5-game series win is simply because of the regular season indication. They do struggle against Memphis. Towards the end of the regular season, the Spurs team couldn't really put together a complete four quarters of play. And I'm at the point now where I got to see it to believe it. Yes, the playoffs are another beast. Yes, they up their level of play. And yes, a little bit more focus. But I just got to see it in action one time. I might change my prediction, but right now I'm still going 5-game Spurs.
Well, and that's the thing is I hope it goes 5 or 6. I think it very easily could. I think every one of those games is going to be tight. Like we're talking one or two possessions here or there. I think those possessions are going to be taken up by players in Memphis who are just not quite going to be able to make it work. You'll see, as you saw late in the games in San Antonio, you know, and for you know different reasons, but that the execution just there was just one little issue here, one little issue there. You know, you remember that back cut play. Mm-hmm. 1 second left, they gave that lob to Lawrence Aldridge that tied the game in San Antonio. You know, that stuff like that, little detail work
right.
that I think the Grizzlies are just not going to quite be able to. In fact, the whole, you know, this may be total, all four games may not be, you know, 20 points combined in terms of the margin, but I just think they're all going to lean towards the Spurs in this situation. Jeff, thank you very much. We'll do it again as the series continues. Let's do some more of these, and maybe we'll have a little more time when we can do it towards games 2 and 3 and so on down the line. Everybody listening to Locked on Spurs to get the Spurs side of the series, listening to Locked on Grizzlies to get the Grizzlies' side, and keep listening to the Locked on Podcast Network. Jeff, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.